I wonder what the first thing that pops into your head is when I say the word king. Who do you think of? What images perhaps come to mind? Is it King T'Challa? Is it King Simba? Is it Netflix's recent series of The Crown? Do you think of Burger King? Do we think of King Jesus? I wonder if I asked you the same question, what words would come to mind when I first say the word Jesus? What words would we want to say aloud? Saviour, Son of God, Redeemer, Friend, King? On this special Sunday, the last in the church's year before we turn to Advent next week, we stop each year and ponder afresh what it means to worship Jesus, yes, as Saviour and Lord, as Friend, but also as our King. What does it mean for each of us to give Jesus the space on the throne of our hearts? What other kings or idols might we have to push back or move out of the way in order to worship Jesus as our King? And what does it mean to live as citizens of Jesus in his kingdom today? What does it mean for all of us to be all in for Jesus and his kingdom as we approach the end of this roller coaster year? See, I wonder what your hopes are for the final weeks of the year. Is it for clarity over Christmas? Is it for the health of loved ones? Is it for peace or for answers after so many unknowns over the last few months? Perhaps it's to gather once more with loved ones or even church family as we move into a new year together. What are your hopes? What are your prayers for yourselves, your loved ones, your brothers and sisters in Christ at this time? Now, I wonder if you could ask Jesus any question and get a full answer. What would you choose to ask him at this time? In a world of uncertainty, of unknowns, of puzzling times, of ill health, what does it mean for us to come before a God, Christ the King? What does it mean, as one of my heroes, Corrie Ten Boom, says, to trust an unknown future to a known God? How this morning would you describe Jesus as Lord and Saviour, King of Kings and Friend? What does it mean for each of us to be part of his kingdom? What does it mean for each of us to live in a way that points people to the reality that we are part of his kingdom? That God is at work in us, transforming us and using us, helping us bring the message of hope and peace and light to the world around us. This morning, let's take a closer look at who the King we worship is and what he asks of all of us who want to be part of his kingdom. Now, in our reading from Ephesians this morning, Paul is writing to bring our focus back in upon the one we worship, Christ our King. Now, Paul is going to spell out the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, the assurances we can know in him, the promises Jesus extends to us when we submit to his reign. Into our chaotic and uncertain world, Paul has reminders for us about who is sovereign, who is on the throne, that the God we worship is all-powerful and above all things. He wants to point our gaze beyond our circumstances, to come once more to worship at the feet of the King of Kings. And then in our gospel reading from Matthew, we find Jesus telling another story, pointing to the reality of his second coming, of what we can expect from Jesus, yes, but also challenges us by reminding us what our King asks of us, his citizens, living under his authority as part of his kingdom. See, Paul is writing to another of the early churches, the church in Ephesus. And like the opening that we've seen in letters to Philippi or Thessalonica, the letter's beginning is full of warmth. There's an assurance of prayer and gratitude for the bond Paul has with the church in Ephesus. Now, Paul has a lot in this letter he's going to go on to talk about, but he wants to start from a place of hopes for the church in Ephesus. He gives an insight into what his prayers for this group of believers are all about. And it comes down to this. He prays that God would give the believers the discernment, the ability to know what riches God has made available to them already. Notice with me in chapter 1, Paul doesn't ask God to give them what they did not have. No, rather, Paul prays that God would reveal to the believers what they already had in Christ. The prayer this morning is still the same. This morning we pray that God would open our hearts, our eyes to what he has offered us in Jesus Christ. In a world of chaos and confusion, I don't know about you, but for me it's so easy to start to look down, to start to look inwards, to begin to feel overwhelmed and unsure of what or where we can turn. But we pray, as Paul did for the church in Ephesus, that God would lift our eyes, lift our hearts, that we would fix our hope on the one who is the source of that hope. But that we would also turn outwards to see how we can join in with his plans and know his purpose for our lives. See, Paul prays that the believers would know the Holy Spirit, their resident boss, living in them, opening their eyes of their hearts, so that they might know the three things, Paul says, to equip them to live their faith out. Firstly, Paul says in praise that we might know the hope to which God has called us. See, each of us are known to God, uniquely made and crafted by him, with unique personalities and gifts, a unique part to play in God's master plan for the world. He called us to something and for something. We're called to belong to Jesus. We're called into the fellowship of right relationship with God and with one another. We are all saints, whether we believe that about ourselves or not. Saints with a calling to holiness, to freedom, and to be people of peace and reconciliation. In a year with so many questions have been asked about the point of life and purpose, as followers of Jesus, we have a sure and certain hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. We don't just hope for a better year next year, although I'm sure most of us do. We don't just hope that it will be sunny tomorrow, although I'm sure most of us do. But instead, we can say with confidence that even when we don't know what's going to happen next, we know the one who does. Even when we don't know what the future looks like in terms of jobs or health or any part of the future today that we are worrying about, we say we know the one who holds the future in his hands. The God who made us, who knows us by name, who loves us, who died so we might live in his freedom. He's got you. He's got good plans for you. The Bible tells us the plans are to prosper us, not to harm us. He's got you by the right hand. He's not forgotten you. He will see you through today, tomorrow, next week, all of eternity. Paul says we have a living hope. Would our eyes and our hearts be open to discern more fully, to know that heartbeat of hope? Amidst the tears and the frustrations and questions and battles which are real, would we know the hope that God is with us? He does not let us go. Secondly, Paul prays the Ephesians would discern the riches of Christ's inheritance in the saints. Now, in Christ, we have access to the throne room of heaven. We have a heavenly Father who meets us at the point of our needs. He doesn't give us what we want, but he provides for our needs. He doesn't withhold any good gift that we need. He even gave of his Son, Jesus Christ, to fix our relationship with him, to call us into a new relationship. Christ the King becomes the baby in the manger, lives amongst us, dies and rises again, so that we might know the riches of God's gifts of grace towards us. God knows our needs. He knows our limitations. He is not limited by how we view ourselves, but he calls us today to step into his glorious inheritance, the promise of life eternally with him, but also to step today into the freedom and the purposes he has for us. Now it's important that we clarify, God's inheritance for us isn't based in wealth or in financial gain. His inheritance is about knowing freedom and hope and purpose, significance and meaning. Paul prays that we would open our eyes and hearts to know that we have access to the riches of Christ's inheritance in our lives. That we would step into the purpose and freedom he won for us at the cross. That we might know life in all abundance, even in the midst of a pandemic. We can look up and out and move forward in the call of God in our lives. Paul also lastly prays that we, with the believers in Ephesus, would discern, that we would realize the immeasurable greatness of Christ's power within us. The same power, Paul goes on to say, that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. When we feel weak or overwhelmed or at the end of ourselves, Paul prays we would remember that in our weakness, Christ is strong. When we come before our Heavenly Father with empty hands, he promises to fill us up, to refresh us, to equip us, to walk with us, even when we are not sure we have the strength to take another step. Hope and life today for us as followers of Jesus is not found in just thinking happy thoughts or having enough money or things to keep us distracted. No, it's found in Jesus, the one with us, empowering us through the storm. When we think we cannot go on, we dig deeper into the wells of Christ, into his hope, into his love, into his strength. We stand on the promises and power of Scripture, not in our own strength. We stand in Christ the King's. God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly place, where Christ is, Paul goes on to say, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, far above any pandemic, any battle, any health struggle, any economic uncertainty. Christ is, Paul says, sovereign over all, above every name, not only in this age, but throughout history and all that is to come too. All things are under Christ's feet. He is the ruler of all, Christ the King, head of the church, filler of all who find fullness in him. We just sang it. Our God is greater. Our God is higher. He is with us. Who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of God? Christ the King, sovereign over all the fights and battles each of us will face today and in the days to come. Do you know Christ the King as your King and Saviour? Do you bow the knee and worship before the only sovereign who is powerful over all and who knows you by name because he made you? He speaks purpose and meaning over your life today. Christ the King is on the throne. But what does it look like to be part of his kingdom? What does Jesus ask of his followers, of his citizens? Well, in our gospel reading, Jesus had some important heavy words for us. The last couple of Sundays, we've seen Jesus telling parables about getting ready, about getting prepared for his return, of not getting caught out, but living, making use of the gifts and talents Jesus has given us as we serve his purposes, as we wait on his return. But today, Jesus' words remind us that judgment will not have our talents, our skills, or even our reputations on trial. But instead, we will be measured on how we have served and loved our neighbours and those in need as we have navigated our way through this world. Jesus says in Matthew 25, at the coming of the Son of Man, at the end of history, the sheep and the goats will be separated. The sheep's put on the right, the goats on the left. Both from a distance might look the same to many of us, but they will be separated based on their character, how they have served Christ in their lives. For to the sheep the king will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you came to me. But Jesus, the righteous answer, when? And Jesus says, what you did to the least of my brothers, you did it for to me. But to those on his left, the king will say, depart. For when I had a need, you didn't help me. And again, they'll say, when did we not help you, Jesus? And who say, whenever you did not meet the needs of the least of my brothers. So go away, Jesus will say, miss out eternally on what could have been prepared for you. This morning, how are we living as part of Jesus' kingdom? Are we living like Jesus, lives of service? Do we care for those in need? Or do we put ourselves first all the time? How can all of us join in with God's plan for this world? How can each of us serve? How can you help at this time? Now, for all of us, this will look really different. We have different abilities to serve practically, different circumstances, perhaps different limitations, but we can all do something. For some of us, that might look like volunteering. For some of us, that might mean giving financially or giving food resources to the food bank. For others, we might have some time to give to serve on a different project, a youth project, a homeless project. For others of us, our finances might be really stretched at this moment, and that's okay. Perhaps we need to think about how we can serve and help you in your moments of difficulty. We might also have different needs in terms of our health. But we can all pray for those in need. We can all pick up the phone and check in on those we know who are struggling. For those perhaps we cannot visit at the moment due to COVID, we can still make a call, send a text, send a letter if you want to do it that way. For those struggling, we can get alongside in terms of prayer, but also in terms of practical checking in. Who can you encourage at these times? Who can you stand with? How can you practically or financially or prayerfully serve? Let's not get so wrapped up in our own situation we forget to look out and up and being faithful to what our King asks of us. Are we living to serve others? You know, we are free to live our lives as we please. But in the end, we all will have to give account to the one who gave us our lives of how we chose to respond to the tasks Jesus gave to all who want to call him Lord and King. Jesus won't be impressed by our bank accounts, by our promotions, by how flashy the car we drive is or the watch on our wrist. Instead, he will care to see how we served others, who we supported and cared for, and how we shared the love and hope of God with the world around us. Not looking for praise or validation from man, but instead to be faithful to the one who has called us, Christ the King. See, Christ being on the throne of our hearts will always produce evidence and transform speech and thoughts and actions and character, not all the time because we're human and we get it wrong sometimes. We will try to live differently. If we want to be like Christ, we've got to start living like him. Life's built upon service, a pursuit of holiness. Life's in worship, not just with the songs we sing or the words we say, but in our actions too. Will we bow our knee today in worship of Christ the King? But will we also work and give and pray to see others lifted from times of difficulty? Will St. Luke's be a church that feeds the hungry? that gives water to those who are thirsty, who cares for those who are lonely? Will we pray and care for the sick? Will we visit those who see no way out or have no hope for the future? Will our love for God overflow in how we treat one another and others? Will we look instead different to the world? Will we worship Christ the King in words, thoughts, and actions going forward? I want to finish with three questions, perhaps for us to think about this week. Firstly, do you know Christ the King? Is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings on the throne of your heart? Have you surrendered to his rule and reign in your life? Do you know that he's Lord over your circumstances, that he fights for you in the battles you are facing? Have you released control over your dreams and your hopes and your ideas for your life to him? Have you given him reign over every area of your life and not just your Sunday mornings? Is he king over your ambitions, your motivation, your finances, your future? Or are you still in control over areas of your life where Jesus has freedom to speak into today? Are you ready to trust every part of your life to Christ the King this morning? Do you need to declare him king over every area in your life? Do you accept and proclaim him as your king, whether for the first time or the 1,000th time this morning? Secondly, I wonder, what of the gifts of Christ the King you need to be reminded of or to become more aware of in your life today? Is it the hope that Paul wrote of? Is it the glorious riches of your inheritance in him? Or is it the reminder today that you have access to God's power in your life? In Christ, we have all we need. Will we remember that and live it out today? Will we cling to his hope in the midst of chaos and the battle? Will we live as in Christ, that we can know him for eternity, that Christ meets us at the point of our needs? Will we remember this week that when we are weak, we are made strong in the Saviour's love? Will we stop trying to fight in our own strength? Will we instead give access to the King of Heaven, that we would know his power? The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, the Holy Spirit, our resident boss. Will we know this week the hope, the calling, the purpose, the provisions, the power that Christ the King gives to those he loves? Maybe today we need to pray for more of his hope, more of his riches, more of his power, more of his peace in us as we face up to whatever this week will come our way. But lastly, to others looking on, know that you are part of Christ's kingdom. Do they know you know Christ the King? Do they see it in your thoughts and words and actions? Do we live out week by week our service of the King of Kings and how we serve others? Do we care for those in need in whatever way we can? Do we use our gifts, our time, our prayers, our finances to lift up those in need? How this week can we join in and play our part? Well, in the notices, I'll have a few suggestions. But first, let's pray for our hearts to be enlarged with a renewed passion to serve, not for the praise of man or to be seen to be doing the right thing, but out of love for our Heavenly Father, to be fully part of the kingdom of Christ the King. Do you know the King? What gifts of Christ do you need to know more today in your life? And do people know you're part of the King of Kings' kingdom? Do people know you're a citizen of heaven? If not, how can that change in the week ahead as we seek to serve and worship more fully Christ the King? For in him we have hope, an inheritance, and the power of God. Christ the King is sovereign over all, far above every other throne, authority, or name. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Is he your king today? Is he sitting on the throne of your heart? Is he sovereign over every area of your life? Oh, come, let us bow down. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Christ our God.